This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And welcome back. So good to have you with us again. As we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation, and all kinds of neat things, I want to remind those of you listening on radio that you can also hear us commercial-free and anytime at all. It's webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And we've got a very fun show today. We're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of, visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set in the second half of the program. And we're going to be asking the spirit of the fountain the probing question about what is in the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, the Westman Islands. What country do they belong to? So if you know, you might stick around, or think you know, you might stick around and see if you can figure out the answer. And of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. And of course, we're going to have an exciting show today. We're going to talk with Mary Ellen Randall. Chris McMaines at IEEE USA tipped me off to this super news story. It seems IEEE USA and the Red Cross have teamed up to provide short-term communications and power solutions after natural disasters and infrastructure failures. Mary Ellen is founder and CEO of Ascot Technologies. She's heading up the project. She's an IEEE senior member, and she's going to tell all about how that's going to happen. I mean, how exciting is that, right? What if we would have had that after Hurricane Sandy or Katrina or something? Wow. I mean, short-term communications and power solutions after natural disasters? This is going to be a very exciting thing to hear about. And I want to remind you that ties right in with things we talk about here in this program all the time. The IEEE 2016 International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies is going to be held again May 9th through the 12th at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts. I hope you will attend. This is a famous and historic international conference on homeland security technology gaps. They're going to be closely examined. There's a great technical program, of which you'll hear more about it on this particular program. Attack and disaster recovery response, biometrics and forensics, land and maritime border security, cybersecurity. And keynote speakers include Mark Borkowski. He's Assistant Commissioner for the Office of Technology Innovation and Acquisition with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the Department of Homeland Security. Dave McMasters, Border Security, is going to be speaking. Richard Vorderbruggen, he's with the FBI. Ann Cox, Cybersecurity. Steve Smith, Director of Disaster Planning and Risk Management, U.S. Small Business Administration. Lots of exciting things going on there. You can find out more about the 2016 International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies by going to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link, and it'll take you right over to the website for the IEEE International Conference on Homeland Security. Just a reminder, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network program, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Now, here's our interview with Mary Ellen Randall, founder and CEO of Ascot Technologies Incorporated and an IEEE senior member concerned with homeland security. The IEEE 2016 International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies will be produced May 9 through the 12th at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts. Well, I got to tell you, Chris McMaines, a good friend of mine who's with IEEE in Washington, D.C., press officer, alerted me to a super news story. It seems that IEEE USA and the Red Cross have teamed up to provide short-term communications and power solutions after natural disasters and infrastructure failures. And the IEEE member who's heading that up is a lady named Mary Ellen Randall. She's a senior IEEE member, and she's also founder and CEO of Ascot Technologies. They won a lot of awards as a software company, and they develop enterprise applications utilizing mobile delivery technologies. Mary Ellen has spent a lot of time at IBM before she got to be doing that. So she's with us today, and she's going to tell us all about this program that IEEE USA and the Red Cross have concocted to provide short-term communications and power solutions in disaster areas. Mary Ellen, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
Now, give us first of all, I presume this was your idea, and that's the reason you were the one that were pegged to head it up. Is that right?
Well, it started, I guess, with me, but there were a lot of people who've contributed along the way, obviously. And it really started by watching on TV the people who were going through Hurricane Sandy and Katrina, mm-hmm. these natural disasters, and thinking, we have so much talent in IEEE. Is there some way that we could go in and help and utilize our talent in order to assist these folks who are going through such a rough time?
So you thought, well, mobile communications and electricity, this must be pretty complicated, though. How did you put this together?
Well, I did assemble a group of folks who advised, we kind of brainstormed together on what types of services we might be able to provide, because we know there are a lot of talented folks who go out and respond to disasters, and we actually looked for a niche where we thought that we could contribute and not be stepping on anyone's toes, and we actually did some focus groups in order to narrow in that niche. And what we came up with is, in a nutshell, that MOVE is for disaster survivors who survived the initial catastrophe, if you will, mm-hmm. and that we would come in with a mobile vehicle, which will help us to provide some services to them in the nature of disaster relief. So the mobile vehicle will be equipped with communication and power types of things for the victims. And the real, we're not really first responders, you know, unlike some of the other folks that go in there.
Yeah.
We're hoping to help the people who kind of huddle at home, who are near a shelter. When we did focus groups on this particular topic before, again, we did any kind of real work on it. We were trying to figure it out. We brought in survivors from particularly Superstorm Sandy, and what they described to us was 10 to 12 days in their homes, and these were in highly populated areas where they were without power. They didn't know what was going on around them. They used their cell phones in order to call relatives who were in other parts of the country and could see the news mm-hmm. and the weather reports and so on.
Sure.
And they asked those folks, you know, what should we do? Do we stay here? Do we try to move? What do we do? And then after a couple of days, their cell phones batteries would go dead. So then they charged them on their cars as long as they could till they ran out of gas and so on and so forth. And so we thought, that is a problem that we could actually help with. So what we will have, one of the things we'll have on this vehicle are power banks. They're the little cubes, if you will, that you recharge your cell phone with. Mm-hmm. And we'll give those to the disaster folks who have survived the disaster, and they'll be able to at least communicate with loved ones, and then they won't have all these feelings of isolation being cut off, different things like that. They'll know where they can, whether they should go or stay, some things like that that were vital to what they felt was important to their safety.
Okay, so the power part of this is really for the communications. I mean, you're not supplying 110 to keep refrigerators going, or able to supply, you know, 240 for stoves and that sort of thing, I guess, right?
That's correct. We're not providing that sort of power, but we are providing them a means to communicate. And in our vehicle, we're able to recharge those little power banks. They can bring them back to us. We'll recharge or give them a charged one, recharge them right there on the spot, pass them out to the next person who has need of it. We also will have satellite communications and Wi-Fi available for the public, which is something that we didn't find was readily available. So, again, another way that people could communicate with the power, the vast power outages that typically occur with this kind of a situation.
Now, this is one vehicle. I mean, what happens in a? I'm asking, really. It's a one vehicle. You have more than one vehicle. Plan to have more than one vehicle. There's a bunch of questions here, Mary Ellen. And then again, you go into a devastating area, like with Hurricane Sandy or Katrina or something like that. You would have to have an incredible demand for this. It seems to me you need more than one vehicle. You couldn't handle all of the need, could you?
Well, that is a concern, but we're going to start with this approach and with one vehicle and distributing them out of the vehicle. However, in our discussions with the Red Cross, they have things that they distribute, like packets of food and things like that. We think we might be able to utilize their channel to pass out additional power banks and that sort of thing, get them to additional survivors so that it will expand the power of just one vehicle.
I would think that the demand for the power banks would be pretty great, and then, you're going to run out of power banks, I would think, pretty quickly, and will you get them back again, or are they just something that's going to go off into the Ethernet?
Well, we'd love to get them back, but I guess realistically we think we may not ever get them back again. However, this is all funded through the IEEE Foundation, so we're hoping to get support for the project and to enable us to have a very good supply of power banks when the situation arises.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my next question, is how are you funding all this? But if it's the IEEE Foundation, that explains it. But, of course, it's not a bottomless trove of cash. And so,
right. We actually have our initial funding for the startup year here, and then we're going to eventually have to be, we're hoping we'll be self-funding through foundation donations in the future. Once we can show people how valuable this service is to those folks who've been affected in these disasters.
Okay, so scenario then, you've got Hurricane Sandy going on in the east, and you've got your vehicle deployed there, and things are going well, and you just say, okay, our job is done here, we've taken care of the people as best we can, and all of a sudden there's an earthquake in California. How do you get the vehicle over to Los Angeles or San Francisco?
Well, initially, the dream is that we'll have a whole fleet of these, and that this is the prototype. You make sure we have all of the electrical functions and everything on it, the right kind of equipment and so on in the vehicle, that it works, that it solves a problem that there's a real need for, and so on. And then the hope is that we can grow the program so that we could go, actually, I'd like to go worldwide with it.
Yeah. I can imagine that would be...
But I don't think it's realistic to think that if there's, you know, we can get cross-country in every instance. We'll be working with the Red Cross to evaluate when they feel our service would be valuable, and likewise, I'm sure they'll tell us when they think we would be too late or unable to be able to be much of a help.
So the ideal would be to have one of these vehicles, at least one of these vehicles, in every major city that might be a trouble spot, like, for instance, Houston, New Orleans, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Boston, North Carolina. I mean, you guys get hurricanes, too, and tornadoes. I mean, tornado, what, devastated Joplin, Missouri not long ago, and of course, poor Oklahoma City, they get hit all the time. So right. I could imagine that there would be certain key places around the country that you'd want to have one of these standing by.
Right. Actually, in IEEE, in our organizational structure, we divide up our the U.S. into six regions. So we would hope to have one in every one of those regions, and we would hope to position it near the hot spots in that region. So and you mentioned just about every region when you named the city.
Yeah, right. So you'd be in driving distance of any of these places. If you had one located in Kansas City or St. Louis or something like that nature, you would be able to scoot right down Highway 44 and take care of Oklahoma City. Okay. Fascinating. How is this ready to operate now? I mean, you've got one that is going into operation.
Well, we have one that is being manufactured at the moment, and it will be finished in March.
Okay.
And by the end of March, we'll have trained our first group of volunteers, who will be familiar then with all the equipment that's on board and what they'll need to do if they get called out in this type of a situation.
Okay, good. And, of course, you're coordinating this with the Red Cross, because I imagine there has to be a lot of coordination with FEMA, and so that you're not stepping on toes or duplicating things that are already done. So I presume the Red Cross is right there on the spot, and they're able to tell you, how the best way is to utilize the services that you're going to be providing.
That's right. They're a great partner in this. They're actually going to help our volunteers will also be Red Cross volunteers. So they'll be put up in the Red Cross where the other Red Cross volunteers are sheltered. Our volunteers will be right there with them and fed and so on. No luxury accommodations. They'll be right in there. Our folks will be right in there working, and so the Red Cross also is important because they're going to help us to figure out where we should position ourselves strategically with their years and years of experience going into these kind of situations. They'll tell us when they think our truck and our volunteers will be helpful to them and so on. So
okay, but one more thing, Marianne, I got to ask, when a disaster hits, how will people know that your service is available? I mean, how are you going to advertise this? How are you going to get this out? Or you're just hoping to show up and take care of as many people as possible?
Well, initially we envision that we'll park somewhere near a shelter. However, it is mobile, so we can move the vehicle if we need to. But we're thinking we'll start near a shelter and see if we can reach how many people we can reach that way. And then again, in partnership with the Red Cross, we'll figure out if we need to move the vehicle or whatever we have to do. So,
okay. All right. Well, communications is incredibly important, and you're solving the communication problem for these people on one hand, but then you also have your own communication problem and letting the people know that the service is available. So I know that that's going to be a real consideration. What have we left out? What haven't I asked you? Is there another point you want to get out, or we cover things pretty good?
Well, we also heard from the survivors that they needed things like either a paper that told them where there were services, or if they could get to where our truck is, some kind of a monitor that told them where other services were, what was available, were there grocery stores open, were there gas stations that had gas, things of that nature. So those kind of communication needs we can help meet also. And we're also going to help provide some internet connectivity for the Red Cross and some things like that as well. So.
Okay, good. Well, we're real excited about this. I hope that either you or Chris McMaines or someone keeps me updated on what's going on as you're adding more units, and maybe when one is deployed sometime, we could do a story from right on the spot of what's going on and let people know, and we broadcast it and bring people up to date on what's happening with these things. Is that possible?
Oh, that would be great. May I mention one other thing?
Yeah.
When we're not at a disaster, which we hope is most of the time, we're going to take this vehicle to schools and public venues to try to show folks what technology, we want to get the kids very excited about science, technology, engineering, and math, and try to show them how powerful it is, how important it is, how power gets to your home, different things like that. So we'll be utilizing this as a teaching tool as well as a disaster response tool. And so we're very excited to have this opportunity to do that.
So your volunteers are going to be able to go to schools and actually talk STEM to the students. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Sensational.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Mary Ellen Randall, this is just very exciting getting this information from you. We appreciate your firsthand report here on what's going on with this program. Before we get out of here, I wonder if maybe you personally have a little word of wisdom you could pass on to us. I know you've probably mentored other people and have been mentored during the course of your life. Do you have a credo, or do you have a word of wisdom, some words to live by or something you can leave with us today?
Well, when we sat through, I actually sat in on the focus groups that we did with the survivors from Superstorm Sandy. And we heard wonderful stories of neighbors that helped neighbors and things like that. But we also heard how isolated people felt and how alone they felt and how they feared the dark and different things like that. And the feeling part really stuck with me. So I carry around this quote by Maya Angelou, the author and poet, which is, "I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel." So we're hoping to go out and make people feel comforted and cared for and try to give them a start back up to rebuild their lives after something like this occurs.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Mary Ellen Randall, who is the ramrod of MOVE. This is a joint venture between IEEE USA and the Red Cross, who've teamed up to provide short-term communications and power solutions, that would be low power solutions, for natural disasters and infrastructure failure and that sort of thing. Mary Ellen, thank you so much for being with us. We've really enjoyed having you.
Thank you very much.
Just a reminder, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network program, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Their interview with Mary Ellen Randall, founder CEO of Ascot Technologies Incorporated and an IEEE senior member, concerned with Homeland Security. The IEEE 2016 International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies will be produced May 9 through the 12th at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts. In the second half, we have an exciting feature of Nobel laureates you want to stick around for, so right now let's step over to our fountain of useless information for today's query. Here's the coins.
Well, to the fountain of useless information. How can I help?
There he is. Yes, we have awakened the spirit of the fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. That's the reason. Of course, we had to throw in the coins. All right. Oh, spirit of the fountain, here's one that is really going to stump you. Sitting on the mid-Atlantic ridge, the Westman Islands, or a small archipelago of which European country? I suppose it was archipelago that threw you, or was it European? No, sitting on the mid-Atlantic ridge, the Westerman Islands, or a small archipelago, or archipelago if you wish, with which European country, or European country, whichever you wish, and please tell us your answer, if you know it. Ha ha ha.
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell me.
You had to think about it, but yes, sitting on the mid-Atlantic ridge, the Westman Islands. Westman should be a tip-off right there that it's not Spanish. It sounds more... Well, the answer is Iceland. Yes, you got it right. Iceland. All right, enough of this nonsense, and let's get back to some serious business. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Mohandas Gandhi, the Mahatma. First, they ignore you. Then, they laugh at you. Then, they fight you. Then, you win.
What a